Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. You know, maybe you've got a friend at work and you'd really like to talk to them about Christ, but you're just not sure what to say. Maybe a loved one's in the hospital and they're not going to make it, and you don't know if they are a believer in Christ or not. And how do I bring this up? What do I say? Well, I'm glad you tuned in today, because our whole program is going to be about how do I talk to someone about Jesus Christ. And I'd like to introduce our guest. This is Mike Steiner. Hi, Mike.
Tom, nice to meet you.
Mike is an evangelist, and we're going to talk about how do we share Christ with others. But, you know, Mike, one of our viewers wrote in and said, Pastor Tom, you always pray before you preach on TV. Why don't you pray before the interviews? And they're right.
There you go.
Well, I can't argue with someone when they're right. So everybody, let's pray. God the Father, we do pray for everyone watching this program. You'll make each of us an evangelist. Use each of us to share Christ with our family, our friends. And Lord, speak to us now on how to do that. Mm-hmm. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Mike, before we begin, I always like to ask our guests, how did you come to know Christ?
Well, for me, because we're all individuals, Mom had five kids. Father kind of abandoned the family. He did. And going to church wasn't available because she had to work a couple jobs. So I went through high school getting in a little bit of trouble here and there with alcohol, and then after high school into some drugs. And unfortunately, the long and short of it was that due to abusing of drugs, I got to a point to where I was going to take my life.
Oh,
I had a real bad experience with psychedelic drugs.
Ooh.
And I won't go into all the details other than to say that I was having horrible nightmares. I'd wake up and I was still in the nightmares. So as a result of the end of that, to prove that I was sane, I had this argument with a voice in my mind. And as a result, I said, I've got to put an end to this, so I'm going to win this argument. And the voice said, you do that, I'll leave you alone. But if I win, you kill yourself. And as a result, I thought I won. And he said, hey, Mike, if you're so sane and okay, how come you have to try so hard to prove it? And I said, that resolves it right there. You win. And I was going to walk out, get in the kitchen, get the biggest knife I could, and slice my throat.
Oh, my.
Well, just before I did, as I turned to walk out, my hands involuntarily came together. And I heard the words, these three words, come out of the pit of my stomach. Oh, my God. And for the first time in my life, I seriously thought about God. But I had no hope. And I said, God, I don't even know if you exist. But if you do, I give you my life. I'll learn all I can about who you are. And I'll always tell others about the dangers of drug. And now it's 50 plus years later. God saved my life.
Wow.
He worked miraculously in a number of ways. But I fell in love with Jesus.
There you go.
There you go.
Wonderful, Mike. Good. Everybody's got a different story.
Okay.
Now, let's get into this. Now, for people that are watching across the country, Stillwater is a very popular suburb of Minneapolis where people go on these long walks around the area. It's kind of a walker's paradise. It's beautiful. Tell people what you decided to do. What is this, 5 years ago?
Yes, it'll be 5 years, this full 5 years, sixth summer.
Okay.
Because typically we start a Memorial Day weekend where the weather cleans up and it hasn't flooded through Labor Day. That's kind of the Minnesota stretch.
And what do you do?
Well, at that, there's the lift bridge, as you know, and Lowell Park, and it gets a lot of folks because it's a beautiful
walkers.
Area.
Yeah.
So I said, Lord, I've committed my life to, as a result of some things I'd seen with all of the city burning down, and what do I do? Because I had recently, about 8 years ago, lost most of my vision, and how can I do something? This lawlessness is getting out of hand.
Minneapolis,
and I was riveted with, not that the Lord is coming home immediately, but that it was signs of the times. What could I do? And I couldn't think of how I could do anything because I could no longer drive. I had lost my license due to my eyesight. And so I shared with an individual, Mark, in our Bible study, a small group. And I said, hey, would you like to do something with me? I don't know what. He said, yes, he would. But Mark had had horrible back surgery. He couldn't lift anything. And I couldn't see, so we became the odd couple. And so we'd drive from Otsego all the way down there. And what we decided on was, I'll just put this up.
Yep, I'll hold it.
You'll hold that?
Free water.
Free
you
water.
See that, everybody? Okay.
And where did that come from? My daughter had been in Royal Servants in church that she was at, and they went and did plays in parks and handed out this free water.
And you have,
right?
Like a little table?
We have a table. We unfold, set it up. We tape that sign that you just saw,
yep.
Put it up there. And obviously people are skeptical because yep. Some will come up and say, what's the catch? You know, no catch. No catch. But we do have something if you'd like to read it. And we talk about the gospel. Are you familiar with the gospel? Have you heard of the gospel? And so you get all these various responses.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Couples, young, old, if parents have kids, we've got little smiley tracks. We've got little things that one looks bigger than the other as you change it and you tell them the story about...
Yeah, do that. Just do it for us.
Can you see that
yes.
there?
Yes. Okay, everybody.
Okay.
First, you hold up the black one?
Well, if you... Yeah, it doesn't make
okay.
a difference.
All right.
And then say which one. It's an illusion. One looks taller or bigger than the other.
Uh-huh.
And then when they pick one, then you flip it. And it shows that the other one's bigger.
But it really is the same.
It's really the same. And
what's your point?
The point is that with children, you can say a little lie isn't a little lie because it can flip on you. And for people thinking about God, you want to be careful about which one you think about because you need to study it and look at it and see which one is the truth. And so therefore,
okay.
it's a opportunity.
I thought the point was, all sin is sin in God's sight, big or little. We're all in trouble and need Christ.
Well, yes, that's the application.
Okay.
And you're working with mom or dad, but you try to have some things for
okay.
the little ones.
So you got a kids track, an adult track.
Yes.
And
uh-huh.
And this is by Billy Graham called Steps to Peace with God.
And
it's been around for decades, okay?
Yeah, like what Campus Crusade would call the four spiritual laws.
Right.
And you just walk through, and it shows you the different
okay.
Steps to peace with God. And you show them about a suggested prayer
yep.
that they can pray. One of the nice things, we always like to get something into their hands because we never know if they're going to share it with a loved one or it gets set aside and someone else picks it up.
Yep.
But we have one rule down there, Mark and I, when we meet with people, and that's that we will not argue with
yeah.
them.
Okay.
Okay? So we don't want to argue with anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to see the opportunity that's at hand and try to respond accordingly. If there are Spanish folks, we have a Spanish
okay.
Version of
yep.
Steps to Peace with God
yep.
so that we can try to meet that.
Okay.
We have a limited budget, but we try to have a variety. For the last 3 years, we've had Josh McDowell's book, More Than a Carpenter, where he states in there, either Jesus was a liar, or he was a lunatic, or he was
the Son
Lord,
of God.
The Son of God.
Who we claim to be.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's great. Some friends from North Carolina pay for 120 of those
great.
A year. A recent one we did this last year was, the gentleman's name is Lee Strobel,
uh-huh.
and he is 20 questions asked about God and is it true, and that's very favorable too.
Okay, that's for people that are questioning?
Yes,
okay.
yes. So those who maybe are Christians or they have a friend who needs something a little deeper,
okay.
we go with that.
Okay.
And then over here we have various tracks on different topics. I think, Tom,
yep.
you said you had been aware of that one?
I've been using this one for decades. It's on the cults.
On the cults?
What yep. Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Christian Science, Spiritualism, Armstrongism, all these cults. And it tells you what the Bible says and then what they teach.
Yes.
And then here's one on Islam that you use.
Yes, we can use those. So the whole point is that we've got something, hopefully, for everybody.
Right.
In addition to those...
Uh-huh.
And it's not always easy when you first get started, but as you do, we have our own personal testimonies that we can share with the individuals. Some don't want to hear it. They walk away, fine.
I mean, you're telling them how you came to Christ?
You can tell them that.
Okay.
Yes, and because people can't deny your testimony. They can hear it, they can accept it or not, but at least they hear, and often they will.
My old pastor I grew up under said, you can't argue with a changed life.
There you go.
If I can piggyback.
Yes, please.
So it's Halloween, and the little trick-or-treaters are coming. You put candy in the bag, and you put a Salvation pumpkin track in their bag. Or it's Christmas, and you're going to have the dinner table meal, or you're going to open your presents. First, can I just read you about the true meaning of Christmas? Or when you send out the Christmas cards, mm-hmm. you put a Christmas Salvation track. I love tracks. So, all right, now let's back up, though, Mike. So yes. We use all these tracks, but let's just say somebody's watching this show. They're at the office. They don't have tracks. And they just want to verbally share the gospel with someone.
Okay.
You know, let's say they don't. This is the basic one, and
yes.
and also the first. This is kind of the same thing: Four Spiritual Laws and Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham. So,
yes.
What exactly is the good news, the gospel? What exactly do you say to lead someone to Christ?
Well, it's good to have an agreement, or at least an observation, as these share, is that there's a problem. And that's called sin.
Yeah, that's
and you
the
show,
beginning.
And the Bible is explicit as to where that happened in Genesis. And you try to say, now if you, I believe in my life, that's what happened. I recognize the sin I had due to my lifestyle. But we all have sin. And then to say that most people try to do it on their own. Philosophy, history, psychology.
Good life.
That they're going to, yeah, they're going to live, they're good, they're okay
mm-hmm.
folks. Well, the Bible calls it sin, and that doesn't cut it. It doesn't take care of the sin problem that
right.
we have.
Good.
Okay? And so as a result, as it shows in here, that schism that is between man and God, that man couldn't accomplish and get over the bridge to the other side, is completed by the cross. Christ does it. That is completed, and one has to go from the far side and not knowing the Lord to the other side. How do you do that? By accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a suggested prayer. So in a nutshell, those
there
kind of
go.
Four steps.
And I like that because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, Corinthians, let me remind you how you were saved.
Yes.
I delivered to you as of first importance. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. And so for me, you've always got to get the cross in there.
Yes.
I mean, I remember Billy Graham saying years ago that once when he was younger, he preached a crusade. Few people came up, and he's wondering, what did I do wrong? And an old preacher maybe said to him, Billy, tonight you didn't preach the cross.
Uh-huh.
So when we share the gospel, you always somehow ought to get in there. You know, we're sinners, but God loves us so much that he sent Christ to die for our sins to make atonement, and then he rose from the dead. And if you believe and trust in him and put your faith in him, turn from evil and put your faith in Christ, all your sins are going to be forgiven. You got to get the cross and the resurrection in there. That's why I like those pamphlets.
Those pamphlets, yes. And some people don't want to touch them. They don't want to walk away. That's fine. We just pray for whoever God brings our way, we
right.
have opportunity to
All right,
share.
Now here's what I'm real interested in.
All right.
I don't like going door-to-door evangelizing. I get super nervous. I'd much rather do a TV show like this than go door-to-door. But so, how angry do people get with you?
I'm glad to say that rarely do we have somebody that's angry. People might be strongly opinionated about something or gesture that they don't want anything to do with it, and that's fine. We want them to feel comfortable or not,
okay.
but they don't have to get mad. So we really, I think that's kind of a lie of Satan, that they're gonna disparage you
yeah.
or say mean things,
okay.
but they don't do it. Rarely does that happen.
Okay.
I wouldn't even say 1 out of 100 might say something offensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
How often do people accept Christ with you?
Well, and here again is the opposite side of that. I don't know of anyone personally praying with us
mm-hmm.
in it'll be the sixth summer this summer or 5-year period. But we don't know. It's like Scripture
yeah,
says.
You're planting the seeds.
You're planting the seeds.
There you go.
And it could be Fred at work 3 months later that follows up or 3 years later. But I see our ministry as sharing and letting that, or as one evangelist said, when you're sharing, you're putting a pebble in the shoe.
There you go.
You're something will cause them to think about
yeah.
or explore at a later time.
Yeah.
God designed that process, and that's good.
There you go. And if I can interject here.
Of course.
I'm 20 years old. I'm at Bethel University taking a course in evangelism. They made us go door to door with the four spiritual laws. And okay. I'm just saying this, so you don't have to know all that much. You can, you know, spread the gospel by knowing yes. not too much like I was when I was 20. So we went door to door, my partner and I, and I got to the part in the four spiritual laws, and here's a 16-year-old Catholic young man that answered the door, and he lets me read the whole thing through. We're sinners. Christ died for us, rose from the dead. Would you like to repent and put your faith in Christ for salvation? And then I got to the line, would you like to pray this prayer and receive Christ? And he said, you know, I would. And I thought, you're kidding. And that was, I think, one of the very first doors I ever went to. Wow. And he prayed and received Christ, and he gave him this thing. And, you know, I don't know whatever he did with it. It's good to follow up, you know.
Yes, yes.
But my point is, you don't have to be a brilliant scholar to share your faith. If you can move your arm and hand this to Uncle Joe on the deathbed, and Uncle Joe, would you read this before the night is up, you know? all right. Now, I'm curious about this, too. So all these people come to your table and you mm-hmm. talk to them, etc. Do most of them have some kind of Christian faith these days? It used to be true in Minnesota. Or do most of them have nothing?
I would say most of them might say they have a faith. And then if they're still open to staying in your vicinity, that you could inquire, oh, are you familiar with the Christian faith? And you try to advance the discussion mm-hmm. so that you have an opportunity. Oh, yes, I've been in Lutheran church or I've Catholic church. We yep. get a lot of those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be evangelicals more so, like we like to claim. And they'll carry on some more conversation. But many of them, we're not looking so much for a difference, but we continue to point to the Bible.
Yeah.
And continue to express that
mm-hmm.
so that, but I would say probably if we find non-believers, it might run 3-4%, something like that.
What about, how many Muslims do you run across?
Actually, it's kind of interesting. You get a lot of foreign visitors down there at the river. It's so beautiful
mm-hmm.
down there. And people bring their friends from out of state, even out of country. And two summers ago, I had four Minnesota University students, young, working on doctoral programs or master's degrees, and I knew that they most likely wouldn't want them more than a carpenter, but the Holy Spirit said, Mike, go ahead anyway. And I, to the first young man, I said, well, this is about Jesus and God. No, no, I don't want any of that. And I thought, well, that shoots. But the next one took one, and the next one took one, and the fourth one did.
Wow.
And now, rarely do you get that,
no.
but you do get opportunities,
great.
And praise God for it.
Huh. Well, all right. I'm curious about this, too. Does anybody go to the table and say, boy, this is great what you're doing. Can I buy some of your tracks? Does any of that come up? Or?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
We try to be consistent in saying we're not accepting money. We're not here to make money. And sometimes after a little time has gone, our little box is there and we'll find some money stuck down in
you
there.
You will.
Yeah, yep, yep. Just found some the other day preparing for the program. There was $2 left over from last. Now, that's not
yeah.
often, but people
yeah.
do, because we don't want them thinking we're trying to make money
no,
while we're
no.
just presenting
the Lord. All right, let
Lord.
Me ask you this. When I go traveling, often downtown or at some tourist site, there's the Jehovah's Witnesses standing there with their material,
right?
Maybe four of them sharing, trying to share what they call the gospel. And I always stop and pray, Lord, may they be influenced upon rather than influencing, because they deny that Jesus is God, they deny the Trinity, they deny that hell exists. And then you got the Mormons
yes.
who believe in thousands of gods. And because the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses really go out knocking on doors, etc., do you get them coming to you with stuff, or don't they really come up?
Last summer, we found that there had been down a block or so Jehovah Witness, but I never got to see them.
Okay.
Now, this is over the 4 to 5 year period, the first encounter.
Uh-huh.
And about the early part of last summer, a Mormon came by, and we had a discussion in which we didn't agree on who
okay.
Jesus was.
Right.
But those were the only two that
really?
I know of, yes.
Because they're the ones that are out there, and
yes.
you'd think they'd come to you more. All right. Any real good stories you want to tell us of stuff that has happened out on the trail there?
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that everything progresses. This last two summers, I have found that there's been a large number of alcoholics and street people with drug abuse.
Mm.
And after we shared some of these things, one group of two gals and a guy, the gal had prayed to receive Christ. She knew more scriptures memorized than I did, but she had almost died three times from drug overdose.
Mm.
The other two didn't know Jesus, but they were open to talking about it.
Mm.
And they ended up coming by two more times wow. over the summer. And we ended up having kind of group hugs and praying.
Aww.
And it was really beautiful. And we could see that God was ministering to their souls,
wow.
so to speak. And they were open.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Well, you know, when Paul was preaching in the gospel, in the book of Acts, he's preaching to this Roman political leader, and a false prophet tries to distract Paul. You don't want to listen to this, Paul. He's preaching. You don't want to listen to this garbage.
Yes.
And God blinded him. And have you ever had this a situation where you're having a good talk with someone about the Lord and Satan disrupts it? Have you ever had something like that happen?
One in particular, I remember two summers ago where we were talking and this guy, I could smell alcohol in his breath. He was drunk. He'd been drinking quite a bit, but he could carry. And he had an argument about how his mother forced him to do something when he was in elementary school. And he was going to take it out on Mark and I. Okay? And
was he drunk when he was doing this?
Yes, he was
okay.
drunk. He could carry on a conversation,
okay.
but the anger was coming out
yeah.
at us.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had to really back off.
Wow.
Know when to hold him and when to fold
yeah.
him, so
yeah.
to speak.
Has anybody ever tried to hit you?
One guy almost did this past summer. He
wow.
also was angry just by hearing the gospel. And he made it clear he didn't want to hear anymore.
Oof.
But
wow.
then he started to talk, and if you tried to engage him, and his fist started clenching.
Oh.
So, but that shouldn't keep somebody from wanting to, because now I'm talking about an experience, a one out of
right.
the
and so,
whole.
So here's my question. Do you get nervous going out there?
I personally do not. Now, I've had a lot of experience over the years since I was 20 years old and mm-hmm. coming to know Christ, and God kind of wired me that way, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But I don't get nervous, but I want to make sure that I'm prayed up.
Yeah.
That I'm not taking
well,
on myself.
I think you probably have the gift of what's called the evangelist gift. Every Christian is to evangelize.
That's right.
But there are certain people who are gifted in evangelism. Just yes. like everybody is to serve, but there
right.
are certain people who have the gift of service. You know, there's 19 gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, well, wonderful. Now, if we can just change gears 180 around.
Sure.
I'm just curious. A lot of people watch our show because they're shut-ins. They can't get to church, and they're going through suffering. You've really gone through it with losing your eyesight, and you've other issues. You said something about kidneys and such.
Yes.
And you're still, I mean, you started this ministry
yes.
after you got sick.
Yes.
So that to me says, no matter how weak and feeble you might be, God can still use you, and you're still out there doing it.
Exactly. And just to qualify, I didn't lose all of my sight. I'm like legally blind.
Okay.
So I can't drive and do
yeah.
these things. But when I was 5+ years ago, moved to, essentially God told me, you start witnessing the way you've never witnessed before. And so I accepted that because I felt purely that that was of the Holy Spirit and God. But God, how am I going to do it? I can't drive anymore. I don't have that luxury because it's a 50-mile drive out there from where we're at.
Mm.
But God brought Mark along.
Okay.
And Mark has been, and God found ways to financially have it work within our fixed income for my wife and I. And Yeah, he's just opened one door after another, addition of different materials.
Mm-hmm.
So
even if you're ailing and sick or weak or whatever, in fact, Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God uses us in our weakness. So if you're weak and hurting and sick, don't give up, because God can use you even more when you're weak than he can when you're strong.
Absolutely, because he fills in, you know, the word of God in Isaiah 55:11, your word shall not return void, right? So however you're going to accomplish that, over the phone, in person,
prayer,
all of these things.
Somebody says, if you want something to happen in your church, get the white-haired ladies of your church praying for it.
Amen.
And a lot of people can't do anything but sit in their bed and pray, but that's a powerful ministry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Mike, two last questions. Number one, what's the main thing the Lord has taught you through your physical sufferings you've gone through?
Physical sufferings, good humility,
mm-hmm.
that I have to trust him in new ways with whatever it is that I'm facing, new lifestyle, new arrangements, new things. So that humility, he's really taught. You thought you trusted me, Mike. Now you're going to learn some new ways to trust.
Okay. There you go. That sounds good. All right. One last question. All right. Let's just sum it up and ask it this way. So somebody is watching this show, and how do I bring it up at work? What do I say to my uncle? How do they talk to Christ about someone? Look in the camera there, Mike, and what would you say to that person?
First of all, by their name, pray to the Lord about them,
mm-hmm.
and that he could guide you or someone else as well.
So start with prayer.
Start with prayer, and then to be open to hearing them talk about individuals or places or things, and how you pray to the Lord, how can I intersect with that, Lord? Mm-hmm. And it may be a day, a week, a month, or months down the road, but something will come up, I believe.
Good.
Yes.
Good, Mike. Well, listen, thanks, Mike, for everything.
Welcome.
And God continue to bless you and put his angels around you as you go fight the good fight out there. All right, thanks all for all you're doing.
Well, you're sure welcome.
Thank you
for having me.
Yep, and there's all these things you can order. Just Google Good News Tracks, and you'll get a website that has tons of stuff like this. Good News Tracks. And it's put out by Crossway. They have a lot of them.
Yes.
But everybody, thanks for watching our program. If you want to see this show again or any of our shows, they're all for free at our website, pastorstudy.org, right down there. You can watch our TV shows. If the Lord nudges you to help us stay on the air and to support us, you can support us through that website. There you go. Try to share Christ with one person this week. Pray about that. And we'll see you next time at the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.